Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
All right, welcome in. Let's just pretend like that never happened to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Bork. I'm glad that you guys are with me on this Sunday night. I said this a second ago. I want to repeat myself, though, for those of you that did not hear the initial choppy audio version of this. I want you just to congratulate yourselves, give yourselves a round of applause, pat on the back, whatever you need to do. Football season is back. The offseason is over. You survived the last Saturday without college football, without football until the middle of February. You have made it. Now, I know your team doesn't play yet. That is next weekend, but we have officially made it. College football season is here. No more offseason. We get to talk about real, actual games this time next week that happen on the field, and then it'll be game week. And I'm excited to do a full, real, actual game preview with you guys, of course, every week, but literally starting next week, we have your football team to talk about, but college football is here. The offseason is over, and I am so glad about that. Glad you guys are here. We're talking about two things that they didn't manifest over the weekend. They've been trends, but Ole Miss football under Lane Kiffin has been very, very good. The floor has been elevated, not only by him, but by the administration, and not only within the athletic department, but also the university, of raising the floor of the program. They are investing more compared to their peers than they ever have before. They're hiring well. The player acquisition model has been good. NFL presence is improving steadily. They're winning games on the field. Fan support is through the roof. Things are very, very good. But there are two big problems facing Ole Miss football right now. And this weekend, you kind of saw both of those things. So we're going to talk about those tonight and then whatever else comes up in the comments for you as well for the next 30 minutes or so on this edition of the show. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Just search Rebel Report and subscribe and leave a rating and a review. I have been doing this podcast. I call it on the side. It's not really on the side. It is under the Super Talk umbrella, but I've been doing the Ole Miss Focus podcast for, I guess it's 3 years now for Super Talk, as well as, of course, the radio show. But looking back at all the numbers, this is the best offseason that we have had. There's always a natural dip after football ends with everything. We notice it on the radio show. When football starts picking up, we get more and more engagement. It's just kind of a natural thing. Not everybody's a baseball fan. And then during the summer, people are going on vacation and just kind of checking out of sports for a little while. This was, I don't even really think that there was much of a drop off at all. The chart did not look like it did last summer. That's for sure. So that was really cool to see. And I thank you guys for that. We're working hard on the radio show, Hey Dad and I, with a sprinkling of Richard Cross these days. But I'm glad that you guys are enjoying this as well. So appreciate you. Keep subscribing if you haven't already. Also on YouTube, leave a comment, like all that good stuff. Hit the notification bell because there will be extra postings during the season. So you don't want to miss those. So hit the notification bell. Also, the podcast is brought to you in part by Toyota of Brookhaven. Exit 40 in Brookhaven is where they're located, but you can be anywhere in Mississippi and shop with them. ToyotaofBrookhaven.com is their website. They will take care of you, even if you're not right there in Brookhaven, because these people know that the car buying experience for most people is kind of a stressful one. So they're going to remove the stress out of it. They're going to treat you like a person. They're not going to try to work one over on you. They're also going to give you $1,000 off on me if you just tell them that I sent you. $1,000 off on me. Boom. If you just tell them that I was the one that told you to go there. Great in-house financing as well. A service department that's one of the highest rated in the state. Toyota of Brookhaven. They will deliver for you. All right, two things. Two big problems with Ole Miss football right now. Because like I just laid out, a lot of things good. A whole lot of things good. But not everything's perfect. Number one is one we've talked about a lot, so I'm going to try to avoid being repetitive, although that's kind of my crutch. I am a bit repetitive, both with you guys and also in real life as well. I'm kind of a repetitive person, bit of a broken clock, if you will. But the biggest issue in the immediate for this team, for last year's team, for the current state of the program, the thing that's holding them back the most right now is offensive line play. That is the thing above all else that is holding them back right now. And look, scrimmages and what you take from scrimmages always need to be done with a grain of salt. We talked about it last time. It's preseason training camp. You don't exactly know what they were trying to accomplish. They might be working a guy at a certain position just to see what he's capable of. There could be guys that are just a little banged up, not really injured. There's a lot of things that go into this. And so, especially when it's this week, it was, I guess, Grove Collective members got to go. Last week, it was a little bit more secretive. But media's blocked out of it. There isn't any video of it that is made publicly available, for the most part. And so it's all just kind of interpreting what other people saw. So that's part of it as well. But the scrimmage yet again came away with a less than glowing report about the offensive line. And there's a lot of factors that go into that. They're going up against an extremely talented defensive line. Very few, if any, they will see are better than the ones that they're facing in practice. They are injured, and that's part of it as well. But it's holding the program back. Offensive line play, how they've recruited the position, how they haven't developed the position is holding them lower than what their ceiling probably could be. Now, that floor is really, really high. I mean, they're over-under win total going into this season, having lost as many people as they lost last season, is a testament to what Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss has become under Lane Kiffin. The floor is really high. You can lose all those, and they still think that it's an 8 or 9 win football team, and I think it's an 8 or 9 win football team as well, even despite this thing. But this is the one thing that's their Achilles heel. It's dragging them down. It's holding them back, and if you just want to just be totally dismissive of, oh, well, they're injured. Once they get these guys back, they're going to be fine. As I've said before, and I'll say again, that's a problem in and of itself, because at what point are they going to be healthy? At what point are they going to be healthy? And how often does an offensive line spend an entire season with all 5 starters not getting injured? Hugh Freeze's first year, it happened there. And that was basically a minor miracle. Truly, it was a minor miracle that happened. That is not commonplace in college football. So, they're just injured. When this guy gets back, they'll be fine. BS, because they're going to suffer injuries. It's a physical game. You have players with injury history already on that offensive line. It is an issue. The way that Lane Kiffin has kind of allowed that to become an issue is a bit head-scratching, considering how good everything else under him has been so far. Basically, everything else has been under him so far. There's questions here or there. I mean, the running back room a year ago was a disaster. Usage of Juice Wells, now that Brian Daboll showed you how you can use a guy like him, also a bit of a head scratcher. But this is the thing that's holding them back. And I've seen two kind of excuses for that. One of them is people say there's not enough money. Okay, let's play that out for a second. You have enough money to pay for elite defensive linemen, so you can get all them, knowing how highly competitive the defensive line is, both in high school recruiting and in the portal. You have enough money for that, but you don't have enough money for the offensive line. You have enough money to go get elite wide receivers, but you don't have enough money for the offensive line. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't track. And then the other one is there's not enough available. Now, that is a thing, and that should provide some grace that there's a lot of struggling offensive lines in college football. There are, but when you look around the SEC and what Ole Miss is doing there in recruiting versus what others are doing there in recruiting, it's unacceptable. And they need to find a way to reverse the trend that they've got with recruiting and developing offensive linemen, because right now the current state of it is not good enough if they want to go win a championship. And some people kind of roll their eyes at that. Some people roll, this isn't a championship program. But that's what they're building towards. That's the next step, right? They've become consistent, 39 wins in 4 years. They're averaging 10 wins per season now. Here, I mean, I'll tell you the exact decimal if you don't like rounding up. But that's what they are now. 39 divided by 4 is 9.75. I probably could have done that in my head, but I'm not a math guy, even though that was my best category in the ACT was math. They're averaging 10 wins per year over the last 4 years. They are a team that, even in its current form, can make the playoff. They should have a year ago. They would have if it was a 12 team in 2023 and in 2021. So they have elevated themselves to that point. But what is the next step? I mean, are you guys just content with them being here for the rest of time? That, oh, it's okay as long as having fun beating Georgia and maybe making the playoff. No, the next step is to turn that consistency into competing for an SEC championship, and then turning competing for an SEC championship into possibly winning one, or at least making the playoff and then winning a playoff game, and then turning that into winning a couple playoff games and getting into that Final Four, if you will. They need to take a step forward. And right now, I don't think they can take a step forward as a program until they dramatically improve the prospects of what they have up front on the offensive line. I know they're banged up, but that's been part of the story. That's got to get better. That is a big problem facing this program right now, and it is holding them back from taking a big step forward. And number two, in-state recruiting. In-state recruiting is becoming a problem now, and here's why I say that. So over the weekend, it didn't officially happen yet. I guess it's going to happen on Thursday. Braylon Womack, the safety from Hartfield right here in Flowood, the new JA or prep, if you will. Hartfield's kind of taken over in the Jackson area private school athletic scene. He's going to go to Auburn, or at least he's going to commit to Auburn. And as you guys know, recruiting things change. Maybe Hugh Freeze gets fired and he opens it back up and stuff like that. Portal, it doesn't mean it's the end of your ability to have this guy play for your team, but he's going to go to Auburn. I've got 24/7 up, for what it's worth. Pick your recruiting service of your choice, if you will. I'm just going to name the schools of the top 20 players in the state of Mississippi and where they're currently committed. Okay, starting with number one, LSU. Number two is about to commit to Auburn. LSU, Auburn, Tennessee, Alabama, Sacramento State. See you in the portal, young man. Ole Miss, Texas, Tennessee, Auburn, Texas A&M, LSU, Colorado, Florida, Mississippi State, LSU, Mississippi State, North Carolina, uncommitted, Baylor, Ole Miss. That's your top 20 on 24/7. And if you have listened to me long enough, you know that this is one of those multiple things can be true scenario. Number one, as long as you are getting good players, it doesn't matter where they come from. If you are getting adequate players, if you are getting a good recruiting class, it doesn't really matter where they come from, as long as you're getting good enough players. Number two, Ole Miss's portal strategy has worked. So if they miss on an in-state prospect and he goes somewhere else, that doesn't mean – I mean, Pete Golding talked about it in his press conference. He made specific reference to a player that's going to go to Oklahoma, and he was basically like, I'll see you in the portal. You bought into the promises they gave you, that's fine. I'll see you in the portal. So there is that as well. It can also be true that this is becoming a problem all over the country. It's harder for schools to hold on to in-state talent. It's becoming more difficult, clearly. Players are more willing to move, in part, I think, because of money, but they're more willing to move. It can also be true that sometimes there's nothing you can do, that an in-state player is just going to want to go somewhere out of state. Hand up, I did that, right? I wanted to see something else. Where I grew up, I mean, Greenville, South Carolina is a wonderful place. It's an incredible town. One of the best small towns in the West, not a small town, one of the best small cities in the world. Downtown Greenville is amazing. I wanted to go see something else, and I found my home right here in Mississippi. So I would be hypocritical if I was criticizing a guy wanting to leave home, because I did that. And it can also be true that you don't just take kids because they're from your backyard. There are some people that want their school to just load up on Mississippi kids and that's it. And that's not a good recruiting strategy either. You get kids that you think can play and nothing else. And it can also be true that it's a problem and that it needs to improve. Because two of the top 20, and one of them being number 20, of in-state players being committed to Ole Miss is, it's a problem. Because those are the guys that should be the easiest for you to get. Now, I know that this state's a little bit different than like a Louisiana because you have Mississippi State here and you have, but they're not getting any of the top players in the state either over the last few years. That's not really a problem either, but these are supposed to be the guys that are easiest for you to get. These are supposed to be the guys that you have the most connections with. And I know that there is an argument that you don't want to waste money on high school players. I've seen people say that. Well, you don't want to spend on a high school player that may never play for you. Look at Ole Miss's current situation on the defensive line and tell me that that's not worth paying for. Because if they would have just been like, forget Cam Franklin. Forget Will Eccles. Don't need Xavien Harris. Jam Brown doesn't matter. Let those guys go somewhere else. I don't want to pay for those guys. I'll just go get defensive tackles out of the portal. Ole Miss would be screwed this year on the defensive line if they did not have those guys that they got from Mississippi out of high school on the defensive line. They would be screwed because the defensive tackles available in the portal do not match the talent that they have in that room because of high school recruiting. So this, it doesn't matter. You don't want to pay them because they're not going to the current state of the defensive line is proof positive that that's not particularly smart either. There's a balance. You don't want to overspend, but you do need to bring in high school guys. Yes, the portal is there, but you don't want to be exclusively dependent on the portal because if Ole Miss would have been exclusively dependent on the portal, defensive line would have been a huge problem for them. They've got to fix this. This has got to be something that they get better at. Does it need to be their exclusive focus of attention? No, of course not. Interestingly enough, they made a hire over the weekend. Familiar name, you guys know him, Dante Moncrief, who was the focal point of one of the more organically cool nights in Vaught-Hemingway Stadium history on Feed Moncrief night against Mississippi State. But he was a good pro Mississippi guy, and he is going to work in the player personnel recruiting department at Ole Miss. I'm very curious to see how well that works. If you've ever been around him, you know that he's got an infectious personality. He should be able to relate, especially to in-state kids, being a guy from Mississippi who went to Ole Miss, who became a pro, and then now is back at Ole Miss. That's a story that you can sell, and I would expect him to be a grinder. Right. I don't think you have to worry about work ethic in the recruiting office with a guy like Moncrief. So maybe his presence will help them with in-state recruiting and connections and things like that, because not only did he live that exact life, but personality wise, I think he'll be quite good at that. So maybe that's the answer. Maybe it's as simple as getting a guy like Moncrief in to help fix that, because he's I've had the pleasure of talking to him a couple of times, and I'd play for him. He's very easy to like. So maybe that's the fix. That was is an interesting and a good hire, and we'll see if it works. And his I guess this is his first college job. So curious to see how it works. I think that you can expect a guy that's going to work really hard on it. So those are the two problems facing Ole Miss right now. Bunch of your comments. We'll rapid fire through those, and I'll let you go on this Sunday night. Appreciate you guys being here, and we'll get to those after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. If you tell them that I sent you, get a complimentary assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is. If you're a Mississippi business who needs that office technology, Advantage Business Systems is where you need to go. Don't forget to tell them that I sent you. Also, Priority One Bank, they make you their priority every day with their 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's likely to be one in your backyard. Local loan servicing and decision-making, an outstanding online banking platform. Sorry about that. I touched the mic, even though it's a crappy 15-year-old mic. I need to get a new one of those. Maybe I'll budget for that one day. But anyway, Priority One Bank, they'll help me out with that because they make me and they will you their priority. All right, we are back. Yes, we are back. South Carolina under 7.5 wins. That's ambitious. That's ambitious. Good evening, Luke. Glad to see you. Rewatching Breaking Bad and now going through Better Call Saul has passed the time for me quite easily, you say. I'll be honest. This is the first offseason that I did not get into, like really get into a show. I've been watching It's Always Sunny is what I've been watching lately, but that, you know, it's a comedy show. It's not one like that. So I haven't really like grabbed onto something like that this offseason. Love seeing the Giants use Juice Wells correctly. Imagine that. Yeah, it's almost like treating him like he's Calvin Johnson is not the best way to maximize his talents. I know he wasn't perfect. My goodness, the attempt at a one-handed catch in Gainesville is infuriating, right? He fumbled, although they dominated the game, through the end zone against South Carolina, but what made him so effective at South Carolina was getting him the ball quickly and in space. And they just didn't do that with him. And here's another thing, Edward, where we've been talking about validation, where some of us spent the season wondering, you know, why aren't they doing quick hitters more? That they're struggling to run the football. Why don't they use a quick short passing game? Why are there not screens in this offense? Why are they not using the tight end more? And, you know, we're not ball knowers, I know, but John Gruden, Super Bowl winning head coach, questioned Ole Miss's offensive strategy, especially with the quick passing game, and that was validating for us. And now you look at what Brian Daboll's able to do, and this that's the kind of thing we were talking about. It's like Daboll's able to figure out what his strengths are. John Gruden, a Super Bowl winning head coach, looked at the Ole Miss offense and wondered, the hell y'all doing? So I think we are kind of validated in the questions, not kind of, I think we're validated in the questions that we were asking of this offense last season. And there was another example of that. Ulysses Bentley hasn't been a superstar, but he's been effective running against NFL players. Is Micah Davis going to do that at running back in the NFL? Probably not. So anyway. Do I think the team will play with a chip on their shoulder, being that they've been left out of any serious conversation as a top team? They should. They absolutely should. Who should, quote-unquote, play with a chip on their shoulders? Lane Kiffin himself. I imagine the Kentucky game might be their most prepared for of the season. I have a feeling that he and those guys are sick of hearing about Kentucky. It's their fault, but, yeah. Thank you, Craig. Good to see you. I don't know how you're not in bed with the twins at home, but thank you, man. The Ole Miss Focus Show was, in hindsight, the clear move. You need, yeah, no doubt. No doubt. In-state recruiting took another massive blow today. It did. Officially football season, all caps. Yes, sir. Good news is with Auburn recruits, just wait until December. Or the middle of October, depending on how things go. Who's going to be worse, the Saints or the Colts? The Colts. I think the Saints are going to be pretty darn good defensively, to tell you the truth. In my opinion, what's the best Ole Miss football uniform combination? Powder helmets, red jersey, gray pants. That is by far not even arguable to me. Of course, it's arguable. It's a subjective thing. Uniforms are not objective. But the best look that Ole Miss has is powder helmets, red jersey, gray pants. That is a beautiful football uniform. Yeah, you say this in the chat. It's literally a perfect uniform. You're the only one that doesn't get invested in recruiting anymore? No, you shouldn't, especially with a player committing to five different schools. I mean, what you should pay attention to, in my opinion, when it comes to recruiting is like the end of it. Don't get excited about one individual recruit. You never should, because they're, if it's a five-star, their hit rate's 50% anyway. So even before the portal era, that was still a thing that was like, okay, like Laremy Tunsil worked out great, right? Laquon Treadwell worked out great. But you still should never look at a recruiting class and one player. That player is changing everything. Just it, because sometimes it happens, but sometimes it doesn't. So it's better just to look at overall class as a whole and the positions in which you are, they have recruited, and the retention of the players and how they're supplemented in the portal. Like that, like that's the kind of stuff that you should pay attention to, not one individual player's recruitment, because it's just going to drive you nuts. And like when they flip or whatever, they may end up at your school, but they might transfer anyway. Look at the big picture. Okay, this recruiting class had 20 players, but only one of them was an offensive lineman. Okay, that's an issue, right? That kind of, that's what you should look at, is positions, ranking as a class as a whole, and how successful they are at supplementing in the portal. That's what you look at. Individual players and getting hyped up about individual players, that's a waste of your time. But overall player acquisition, that's not a waste of your time. Wow, the Saints quarterback room sucks. Thank goodness my Broncos are going to win the AFC West. It wasn't that bad today. It wasn't that bad. Truly believe there are 9-10 win teams. Just depends on people being healthy when they need to be. Mm-hmm. And playing a running back instead of a wide receiver at running back. They've all using lane schemes to help dart last night was beautiful. There was some familiar stuff for sure. The fact that they have to reestablish their identity running the football with this year's offensive line, running back room, and coaches is a concern no matter how you spin it. Not a Giants fan, but I really like Brian Daboll. Hope it works out. If they give him time, I think it'll work out there for sure. Really don't care where they stand in recruiting. Yes, I know you can't get an entire team in the portal anymore, and I know the current high school recruiting isn't ideal, but I don't care about it. I hear you. It's not 2011 anymore. They went all out recruiting offensive line post-2023. Not sure why they took the focus off of that. In Weiss's defense, Lebby worked with a much better offensive front than Weiss. You guys know me. Again, broken record stuff. Blaming Charlie Weiss Jr. to me is misdirecting the blame. We give Lane Kiffin all the credit when the offense goes well, and then Charlie Weiss gets all the blame when it goes poorly. Lane Kiffin's the offensive guy. Charlie Weiss is the offensive coordinator. But when it's bad, the head coach has a play sheet and a headset, and he's the offensive guy. Every call goes through his headset. He's either endorsing them or stopping them. So if you're just blaming Charlie Weiss Jr. for offensive issues, I think you're absolving the more responsible party. Just like if they're successful offensively, you should also give credit to Charlie Weiss Jr., but also to Lane Kiffin. But this idea that when it's good, it's all Lane, when it's bad, it's all Weiss is unfair, and it's just not. It's not right. Offensive line doesn't have top talent available in the portal, and you have to be willing to throw out $1 million to $1.5 million for a top high school offensive lineman, and he may not pan out. You've got to get them. You have to get them, or you have to develop them. I mean, Michael Pettis was a $1 million-plus ad for Florida State, but you have to. Maybe treat that position differently. Offensive linemen transferred the least out of the main positions in college football. There's a reason. I think the next step is to sustain momentum in 25 and make the playoff in 26. The goal this year, and we'll talk about this later this week with season prediction and stuff like that. To me, the goal for this team should be to be in the playoff discussion when the calendar turns to November. to be in the discussion when the calendar turns to November. That, to me, is the goal for this team. They've just lost so many pieces. Not making the playoff this year should not be viewed the same as it was a year ago. If they are in the conversation, and that includes like a 9-3 team is in the conversation to the playoff. They won't make it, but they're in the discussion. If they are that in November, it is a successful season, barring some kind of catastrophe like the end of 2022. Other teams with less money seem to have better offensive lines, though. Yeah. If they focus one game at a time, they can make the playoff this year. I do like how the schedule shapes up to kind of keep their attention as opposed to last year. Look at Lane's track record. Who's the most impactful in-state recruitment out of high school? It's absolutely Centarian Perkins, but look at all the kids who got recruited and left. It's hard to care about, yeah. I think they have to win 8 games at a minimum to keep everyone seriously on board. I actually agree with that. 7-5 would be a step backwards, for sure, especially with the schedule setting up the way it does. If you had to choose who Ole Miss beats and loses to with an 8-4 and then 9-3 record, who would it be? LSU and Mississippi State, to me, are non-negotiables. If I get to choose who they beat, those two are always going to be the choice for program purposes. So who would I choose? I think Georgia would be an easy choice for a loss in either one of those scenarios because you don't get punished, right? If you're talking about I get to choose who they lose to, in a 9-3 season. What I'm trying to build here in this scenario is making the playoff is what I'm trying to build. The committee told you they don't really care about strength of schedule. So beating Georgia, but losing to Kentucky again is a problem. Although maybe the timing is better since the Kentucky loss would be earlier. I don't know. Losing to Georgia, you're not going to get punished with at all. So toss that out. Would at Oklahoma be another loss that I would choose on the road? And what would that third loss be? If you made me choose, what would that third loss be? Not Florida. That's too late in the season. Maybe South Carolina. Is that 3 losses in a row, though? Let's see. All right. I'm choosing 3 losses. That's 3 in a row. Can't do that. Shoot. That is tough. LSU, I've changed my mind about the non-negotiable thing, I think. LSU, Georgia, because you don't get punished for those losses. And either South Carolina or Florida, I guess. Or you lose to LSU, Georgia, and Oklahoma, and then finish beating South Carolina and Florida. That's tough. That's really tough. Mississippi players have to be nightmares in financial terms with out-of-state schools getting involved. No kidding. But still, those are the ones that you should have the best connections with. And you're still recruiting against LSU and Alabama and Tennessee and Auburn and A&M for players in different states. You know what I mean? So, and, well, they didn't want them anyway. Can't be the excuse for every single player. At some point, you've got to get players. Nobody on the schedule. They're not incapable of beating. Even Georgia has been question mark at quarterback, not just a quarterback, but yeah. If this in-state recruiting issue holds and then it starts next year, then you might could consider it a disaster in the making. Go Ask Tennessee had developing a high school recruited quarterback fared for them. He's now at UCLA. Yeah, the recruiting isn't ideal, but getting guys who are a little more proven. Not on the offensive line, they're not. But yes, Tennessee had their quarterback transfer, but they also told him to, in effect. He also wasn't that good a year ago. You can't let, well, the player's going to leave stop you from trying to get good players. Because, again, if Ole Miss decided on the defensive line, it doesn't matter. They're just going to leave anyway. They would be screwed. I know I said that earlier, but that is true. Ole Miss would be screwed if they decided, no need, no point in recruiting defensive linemen. That doesn't matter. We'll just get some out of the portal. They'd be in big trouble. How are the Saints' offense going to be able to score when they can't move the ball against backups? Number one is starters will play. What's up, Maverick? Hey, buddy. Starters will play. That's number one. But also, they're probably not going to move the ball very well. They're going to have to run, Hunter. And Kamara hasn't played in the preseason yet. They've been sitting some offensive linemen. They just traded for a center today since Clapp got injured. Kendre hasn't gotten the ball very much. I think that this team's going to run the football a lot. And that's that they're going to have to play a style of play where they keep games really low scoring. They're going to have to win a lot of 24-21 type games. I don't think they're going to score much. I think they're going to slow games down. Defensively, there's a chance that they're pretty darn good. I like what Staley brings. I like what they have in the front six now. Stutzman looks like he's going to be a – they got two backup linebackers this offseason that look like they're capable, especially if Demario Davis needs as he's getting older, needs more time. I kind of like what they've got defensively. Maverick, he keeps poking. Come here, Bubba. Come here. He keeps poking me with his nose. If I'm not petting him enough, he'll walk up and poke me. That's what he's doing right now. Come here, Bubba. Look at this old dog. Oh, man. Hey, Bubba. So it's interesting how much has dropped off after the 24 class. Yeah, I know the Kelvin Bolden factor, but it was already happening before. It was happening before he left. It was. And again, maybe Moncrief is the answer. Maybe he's the answer. So John Mateer hype train's getting wild. Is it just a stat thing with him? Yes. I mean, he's talented, but it is a stat thing with him. It is. I think that once competition level increases compared to what he faced last year is also going to be a factor. That I know the president of Finland went to Furman. I did not. Is that the good-looking one? Wasn't it Finland, the prime minister? And she got in trouble for partying too much? I don't know. People put too much stock into Amos last year. Passing defense was ranked near the 90s. I fully believe secondary is more talented as a whole. I just disagree with you. People do not put too much stock into Trey Amos last year. He was exceptional. And passing defense was not ranked in the 90s. Here, I'll tell you exactly what they were. I'll get there. Give me a second. Passing yards allowed. Gosh, the NCAA website is a disaster. It's an absolute disaster. Gosh, it's sorting wrong. But no, Ole Miss's pass defense was... like, it could have been better in spots, yes. Gave up a long game-changing ending pass on a fourth down against Kentucky. Multiple times in the LSU game, but I'm just not going to be dismissive of what Trey Amos was for that team last year. Not at all. So Ole Miss gave up, what, 230 passing yards per game? Is that what I'm looking at? I think I'm seeing this correctly. But since I'm on ESPN's website now, they don't put a number next to the ranking, but it's not 90. I don't know. Sorry. Trying to look at stats on the fly, and I'm failing for you. Shows you how little Lane cares about Mississippi players. Getting Moncrief to help was big, especially since Mississippi State has fell off a cliff with in-state recruiting. They could have the highest share of Mississippi recruits. They should have the highest share of Mississippi recruits, for sure. Could it be true some families are state families? While they won't play at state, they might not want to play at Ole Miss either. There is some of that. If I were a state fan, I'd be extremely worried about recruiting, especially since their portal classes are significantly worse than other schools. Yeah, so let's see. I think there's too much talk about how good their portal class was because it was 18th. It was behind Arkansas. It was behind Wisconsin, Nebraska. Kentucky had a better portal class. North Carolina did. Florida State did. Now we're getting into bigger brands, but that they had to there's 34 commitments in their portal class. USC's in front of them. 16. So 16, and five of them are four stars for Southern Cal. 34, and four of them are for state. It's tough. But, coming off of 2-10, you've got a slow build. You're not just going to snap your fingers and have a roster that's ready to win 9 games, Most we should complain about Lane's coaching job was last year. He wasted the best defensive team in the country, at least the front six anyway. Like the Moncrief hire, good in-state staffer. I'm going to go rapid fire here. We're running a little long. Love to have gotten Shea Hodge on staff as well. Go get him, Moncrief. I'm sure he will. 2012 Egg Bowl is my first big game I ever went to. It made an impression on me that night for sure. Yeah, that Moncrief song was a banger. It was at the time. It fit the stadium mood that night perfectly. Will they ever do an upgrade to Vault Hemingway? Not anytime soon. Really enjoyed the Not Fall Camp Tour. Got through some plane rides. Wish I could have won some golf trips. I hear you. Hey, go to Hattiesburg on Wednesday. I'll see you there. Wonder if Bolden getting taken by LSU had anything to do with it. There's some of that, I'm sure. That was the whole wish him well stuff. That is a position that the fan base at large had that I disagree with. I don't think that you guys should wish a recruiting staffer good luck. You're gonna do great down there. That kind of attitude. No, he's going to go recruit for LSU now. You don't wish that person well. You don't wish him harm. You don't want him to get hit by a bus. But no, you're not excited when a staff member of yours is going to recruit for LSU. Because what do you think? What do you think a recruiting staffer for LSU does on the road when he's recruiting against Ole Miss? I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. Some of y'all are too nice, though. Some of y'all are too nice. If you had to choose a real tree color design helmet of your own, what would that be? The first one I loved. The first one they did, I absolutely loved. I wouldn't change a thing from that one. I loved it. Stick is good on Apple TV, like Ted Lasso for golf with Owen Wilson. I want to watch that. It looks good. Even in the Egg Bowl, they threw a fade to Wells that went through his hands on a tough catch. That just wasn't his thing. Pray for more short, quick passes this year to help the offensive line if they're struggling. Spent your offseason watching the Marvel movies. Endgame, I loved. I absolutely loved. Post-Endgame's awful. Can I put my hand up to grab the camera for a Simmons, Caden Lee edit? Okay, so like this? Or do I need to make it even darker? All right, do I need to do it with that away? But if you're going to do an edit and I've got this blanket that's all messed up and my dog sleeping behind me. All right, one more. See if that works. Does the offense not know bubble screens anymore? Doesn't look like it. Disney ruins everything. It does, though. Gosh, it does. ESPN does, too. Wish me luck buying a used truck. It's a crap show. Check out Toyota Brookhaven. Give them a call. Tell them I sent you. Bring back the white right away jerseys. No kidding. I don't hate the powder ones, though. I really don't, but yeah. We'll say this, need red helmets for one reason. Going to be the organ of the SEC when it comes to uniforms. Go all in, especially if they keep doing the 12 different combos. I got to see what the logo on the helmet would be for red before I would love it. Superman felt like the first Guardians movie. I liked the first Guardians movie. Second one's fine. The third one's bad. Last year was the worst overall offensive line play you've seen in college football in 10 to 15 years. Across the board, yeah. Got a Marvel superhero movie debate going on in the chat. I love it. You guys are awesome. Is Judkins clear from what happened yet? Looked like they're not pursuing charges. So I guess he is clear, but he has not signed with the Browns yet. Makes you wonder why not. Maybe I missed that, but I have not seen a signature yet. I have not seen him reporting to practice, so maybe there's another hurdle. But problem with choosing to beat LSU is they start 6-0, then lose 3 or 4 games on the stretch. Yeah, that was, I didn't think that through very well. The Nussmeier thing could get iffy. Oh, no, man. No, it's totally fine that the quarterback has a chronic knee issue. Totally fine. On a scale from 1 to 10, it's a 1.5, guys. Nothing to worry about. Totally fine. The coach just described your quarterback as having a chronic knee issue. Not a big deal, though. Not a big deal. At 10-2, the obvious two losses you choose are Georgia and Oklahoma. I agree with that. Rattler or Shuck? Right now, I would pick Rattler. And I know that they've got a guaranteed contract with Shuck, but it's a cheap one. Try to win games now. Rattler, I think, right now, is ready to win games right now. Tennessee fans melted down on social media over the Adidas announcement. Hope and pray never do that. The Nike deal's got to get bigger, though. Got to get bigger. Every day the Oklahoma hype train grows. Think they lose to Michigan in week 2. The problem is I don't think Michigan's going to be any good. Was praying Dart went to New Orleans, but I think that NYG might have been the best thing for him with the coaching staff and the team around him. Yes, I would be more concerned for Dart if he was in New Orleans because he'd be starting. Game one with behind a banged up offensive line, he'd be starting game one. In New York, he gets time, right? That they've got Russell Wilson there. It's better if he gets to wait longer. Him being in New Orleans would be awful for him. A lot of preseason metrics still really like the Ole Miss defense. They should. I expect big things out of them. Stream's going to be over an hour long. Yeah, we'll be here all night. It's fun. Keep hearing how deep the state team is, and I'm sorry, but I'm not buying that. I'm not buying it yet either. Maybe deeper than last year, but I'm not buying it yet. Anything worse than 4-8 gets Levy fired. It's a tough pill to swallow. Would you ever consider wanting Ole Miss to do any type of different color alternate again, like the grays? Actually, like the idea of 2003 throwbacks. Throwbacks, yes, I would support. Any new color? No. I don't think you add any new color. You've got the colors of America plus powder blue. That's all you need. I mean, I can't even think of one that would make sense. I mean, you can't do blackout. That doesn't make sense. I mean, maybe you do like leather helmet stuff, like Illinois and the Packers have done. Chucky Mullins throwbacks. Yeah, they've done that once, but I mean, a true throwback to that, like to make it look as close as you can would be cool. See any few predictions at Ole Miss that have Ole Miss losing to Oklahoma. Thoughts? Am I missing something? Rebuilt offense for Oklahoma. Probably going to be pretty good on the defensive line on the road after Georgia. I can see why people think that. That's a weird spot on the schedule, being immediately after Georgia. Not an easy place to play. So, not an easy place to play at all. Appreciate you guys being here. We'll be back on Tuesday, and I'll see you then. Y'all have a good night. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday. I'll see you on Tuesday.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.